Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. We are now in the final podcast of Perek Shvi'i of Masechet Ketubot, in the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, continuing on with the theme of men's mumim that a man may have. And remember, in the last segment we dealt with the question about whether a man, we're talking about mumim that a man developed, or that a man had beforehand, the machloka between Rabbi Yehuda Rav Chiya and Chiya Barav, and now we get a list of all the mumin. Ve'elu shekofin oto lahotzi. The following are mumin in which we force the man to divorce the woman, if these, we'll assume, develop. Mukashchin, somebody who develops boils, and there's a lot of different kinds, and we'll devote most of our attention to this particular affliction. Oval polifos, this is somebody who has a very bad smell, we'll see where it's coming from. From a kamet, somebody who collects dog excrement. From a tsaref nechoshet, somebody who works with copper. We'll see what that is. Vabursi, a tanner. Ben shayu ad shalonisu, ben mishanisu noldu. Whether or not they had these beforehand or only they developed afterwards or they went into these jobs afterwards, nonetheless, the woman can complain about it and the Beit Din can force him to divorce her and to give the ketubah. Rabbi Meir said, in all of these cases, even if they made a condition where she said, I understand what your livelihood is and I accept it nonetheless, in any case, she can turn around and say, I thought I could take it. It turns out I cannot take it. Now, except for the case of Mukashchin, all of the other issues are things of real, just foul smell. It's somebody who works in an environment that he always smells bad. And that's the issue. Chacham omim kabelati al korcha. Chacham say, no, if she did accept it explicitly, then she is forced to live with it. Chutz Mukashchin, that's the only example where even if it was a mukashchin before and she thought that she could live with it, nonetheless, if she says she can't, then we force the divorce. And not only that, but even if she's agreeable to live with him, we'll see a little more on this later on. Mimnesh mamakato, she enervates him, meaning she hurts him by being intimate with him. Evidently, mukashchin is something, and we'll see more about this in the Gemara, that if you have this condition, having bia is very bad for your health. We had a case in Tzidon. There was a tanner who died. Vayalo ach bursi, his brother was a tanner. She was married to the man. They didn't have any kids. Amru chachamim yechola yishtomar la'achicha yiti yechola l'kabel ulecha eini yechola l'kabel. In other words, just because a woman was married to one tanner doesn't mean that she can't claim that another tanner is offensive to her, and therefore she can refuse yibum with this fellow, even though she was married to his brother, who was also a tanner. The first question the Gemara asks is, what is Baal Polifos? My Baal Polifos, Rav Yehuda or Shmuel, Rea Chachotem. According to Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said that it is bad breath coming out of his nose. Matnita Tana, but a bright that said Rea Chapeh, that it's halitosis. Rav Asi, he read the dispute between Shmuel and the Brita as the opposite, meaning that Shmuel said it's from the mouth and that the Brita said it's from the nose. Umanach basimane, and to remember it, he put a little mnemonic, Shmuel apasik pume mikule pirkin. Shmuel never stopped learning this entire chapter from his mouth. The words of the chapter never left his mouth. It's an idiom that's hard to translate, but the notion is that Shmuel is the one identified with Rea Chapeh. Not that he had it, but that he identified Polifos as that. Now, hamakameitz, what's kameitz? Mekameitz from Yehuda zeha mekameitz tzuat klavim, somebody who collects dog feces. It's unclear why he's collecting dog feces. It's clearly part of a vocation, not some sort of weird habit. But we will see. Meitevei makametz zebursi. We have a brayta that says that a makametz is a tanner. So that brayta also challenges our Mishnah. It doesn't just challenge Rav Yehuda. Hamakametz v'hametzarif nechoshet v'bursi. Because our Mishnah lists makametz and tanner separately. So we can explain our Mishnah as follows. Kan bursi gadol, kan bursi katan. Meaning mekameitz is talking about a guy who collects a little bit of these dog feces in order to use for his own private tanning. Whereas bursi gadol, that's a big tannery, a big factory. But El Rav Yehuda Kashab, Rav Yehuda says mekameitz is specifically mekameitz to klavim. So the answer is tanoi. It's machloket tanim what mekameitz is. The tan mekameitz is bursi. V'yeshomim is mekameitz toat klavim. So it turns out that Rav Yehuda is taking one side of the machloket and the Brayta is taking the other side. Good. V'hametzaref nechoshet v'bursi. What's metzaref nechoshet? Rav Ashi Amar chashli dudi. Somebody who works with copper in welding it together. He says, no, it's somebody who mines copper. Tanya Kavater Rav Rachana, a bright head supports that. Ezu mitzaref, what is mitzaref? Zeh machatech no choshet mikaro. Somebody who cuts copper out from its root. In other words, he quarries it. He mines it. Amarav ha'omer eini zan ve'inavarfanes. We're now going to go, back door back into our Mishnah through a famous discussion that we saw earlier. Rav says that if a man says, I'm not going to feed you to his wife, tiltzivi tank tuba, he has to immediately divorce her. Now, Azor Belazar, Amal Shmata Kamir Shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar the Amora came from Rav to Shmuel, and he repeated what Rav said. Amar, Achsu Asari Lelazar. He said, cover Elazar with barley, as he was making fun of him. Ajakofino tolahotzi, Yichpu Lazon. If we're going to force the guy to act, why force him to divorce? Force him to feed her. So for Rav, so why did Rav not accept that? And Adam Darm Nichash Bikfifa. You can't live with a snake in one basket. In other words, you can't force somebody to live in such disharmony where the Beit Din is always intervening and forcing him to feed her against his will. Now, Kisalik Rabbi Zero, and Rabbi Zero made Aliyah, Ashkeched Rabbi Nyom Yafit, the Yati Vakamar Lamishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. And he heard that he was saying the same statement in Rabbi Yochanan's name. Amarle Al Doch Sua Sarin Lalazar Bavavel. It's for that statement that Rabbi Lazar got nailed in Bavel. In other words, the general consensus in Bavel was not to be in favor of this statement, but rather say, let's use the Beit Din's force to force him to feed her. And here is being reported Rabbi Yochanan's name in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Maravasi. Ein ma'asin ela lipsulot. This is why we're getting here, is we only force, ma'asin is to force a divorce. We only force a divorce when the guy's married to somebody illegitimate. And if it's not in these other cases where the man has to separate from his wife, has to give his wife a get, etc., like we just had, that's not where we're ma'asin. Now, let's see what this means. Ki amrita kame to Shmuel amar, ki gon almon al kon gadol megush al chuzak en hedyon nazor tin Yisrael, but Yisrael tin lo mamzer. So Shmuel gave the famous four sets of examples of prohibited unions. Aval nasa isha v'shayim ma'eser shanim v'lo yalda. According to this version, Rav Asi says, this is what I said. When I came to Shmuel, he gave me this halacha, and he also said, but if you married a woman and lived with her for 10 years and didn't give birth, en kofinoto. Remember, that's a situation we had in Yevamot where you do divorce the wife and then marry another to have perufu. But he said that's not something that we force. In other words, if they want to continue living, they have vakasha. Of tachlifa bar v'yamar Shmuel, it's another version. Afilo nasa yishav shayim ma'aser shanim v'lo yalda kofinoto. He said that Shmuel said not only in the case of illegitimate marriages, but also in the case of the 10-year childless marriage, nonetheless we force him to divorce. Now let's see. Tanan, we have our Mishnah that says, and that's how we got here, the back door into our Mishnah. Elu shekofinoto lohotzi, Mukeshchein of Apolifos, etc., etc. So Bishlamad Ravasi, Ravasi makes sense, because Ravasi, who said that ein masin elo lipsulot, but not the 10-year childless, says derabbanan tani doraita loktani. Our Mishnah is simply listing all of the rabbinic considerations, which is balimumin, and it's not mentioning doraita considerations like an illegitimate marriage, which the Torah forbade. Good. So our Mishnah is not listing everybody who you force, but everybody who you force who is forced is we frown upon the marriage for rabbinic considerations. Alav tachlifi bar vima, but according to Av tachlifa, who said that Shmuel said you would also force a divorce in the case of a 10-year childless marriage, and that's certainly drabanan. Litni nasai shav shayim ha'eser shanim v'lo yalda kofinoto. So Rav Nachman lokasha ha'emili ha'beshuti. Rav Nachman says you can't compare the two. Our Mishnah is referring to situations where we force the guy, and if he's recalcitrant, we whip him. In the case of the 10 years, we talk to him. Madgar Rabba b'dvarim lo yivaser avid. He quotes the pasuk in Mishlei that if you have to give musar to somebody, saying it by words is not going to get him to do what you need him to do. Right? In words is meaningless. Ala amar b'yaba haba haba shute. He says both cases are with a whip. Hatam ki amra havina b'hadei. But in that case where she says I'm willing to live with him, meaning in our Mishnah, shavkinala, we let her live with him. She says I don't mind his smell. We let her. We don't force it. Hacha, but in the case of the 10 years, afagav d'amra havina b'hadei, and certainly she'd want to. Then lo shavkinala. Then we don't let her. We still don't let her. We force the divorce. Now, is that really true that our Mishnah are all cases where it's only if she wants the divorce that we force him? V'imukashchein afagav d'amra havina b'hadei. In our case, if the Nemuketsa Mukashchin, even if she says I'm willing to live with him, Loshav Kinola, we don't allow her. Tenan Chutzim Mukashchin Meshema Makato. After all, the Mishnah gives a reason. Why do we force in the case of Mukashchin? Chacham said, in case they made a Tanai, Mukashchin, we could still override the Tanai and force a divorce because she's hurting him. Once there's physical damage involved, once there's the damage to health, certainly we force it, even if they're both willing to stay married. Uktani. So the answer is ki atam ki amra dayarna dayarna bahade basadi. In that case also, if she says, I'm willing to live with him with Edim, meaning we'll live together and we'll have Edim to make sure that we're never intimate, shafkinala, if they're both agreeable to that, then we allow her. In other words, we don't frown upon the marriage per se, we frown upon the concern about what will happen as a result of intimacy. If they both accept conditions, then make sure that won't happen, vakasha. But in the case of the 10-year childless marriage, and certainly the psulim, even if they say, oh, we'll live together, we'll have witnesses, etc., lo shavkin Allah, we still don't allow it. Now, Tanya Riyosi, Sachli zaken echad me'anshei Yerushalayim. I heard from one of the men of Yerushalayim, Esrim v'arba mukashchin, there's 24 kinds of mukashchin, and all of them suffer as a result of Tashmish. That's the background to the piece in the Mishnah. This people have Ra'atan, which may be some sort of a trembling, is the worst of them all. Now, Mimaihave, how do you get this? Tanya Hikiz Dam Mishimesh. We have a bright that says if a man lets blood and immediately has relations with his wife, Havnem Banin Vitikin. If they both had a kazatam, and it's the husband and wife, and then they had relations, then they'll have this ratan. So why'd you get it? You got it because both parents let blood just before they had the relations that led to you. This is only, of course, if after letting blood they didn't taste anything. Have a little sugar. Then it's not a problem. So my simone, how do you know that a kid is like that? Dolphin ena, you see that he's tearing. V'daivi nechire, he's always runny nose. V'aitile rira mipume, he's always got saliva. V'ramu dirvi ilave. And flies are always around him. He's always surrounded by flies. Umaya sute, how do you heal him? Abaya fila valudna. Girda da agoza v'girda da ashpa v'chalu malka umitchala d'dikla simka. So let's see what this mixture is. You say that you take some of this ladanum and you take a nut tree and take the rind of that nut tree. You take dressed hide and the shavings of it and several other items of from date trees seem to be connected to the healing. And Rashalik Levahadi Hadadi, you boil them all together. Mayale Leveta de Shisha, you go into a marble house. Vilo Ikabeta de Shisha, if you don't have a marble house, Mayale Leveta de Shave Livni Varicha, a house that has a certain kind of bricks set up. The basic idea is that not no wind. Vinatu Leitflat Mea Kossi Al Reshe, you pour 300 cups of this on his head. Adirafia Arite de Moche, until everything gets very soft on top of the head. V'kara l'moche, they evidently open up the skull. Umaiti arba tarfe da'asa, they take four myrtle branches. Umadli kochad kara umotiv chad. And they put every one of them, and they have to pick up the each one of the 4 feet. Evidently, they recognize this as some sort of an insect inside of him. They pick up the 4 feet and put a myrtle branch under each one of the feet. And then they take it out and burn this insect. If not, it'll come back. That's how you heal them. Right, brain surgery. Machri's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made the following statement. Be very careful not to get near the flies that are around Balei Ratan. Evidently, they're infectious. He would not sit downwind of them. He wouldn't go into the tent of the one of these guys. They wouldn't eat eggs that were coming in from that, even from that street where he lived. Nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Michrach Bahu V'Asik Batar, he would sit right next to them and study Torah. Amar, he said as follows: Ayala Tahavim V'Ahavim V'Yala Tchein. Right, the the beautiful gazelles that love each other, and the charming Ye'ilah, the charming ibex. This is a reference to Torah. Imchein ma'ale alom deha. If the Torah brings chein to those who study it, Hagun lo magana, want to protect me? I'm not afraid of what will happen to me while I'm studying Torah. I'll sit and learn with them. So now what happened? Ki havi shachiv, when Bishuman Levi died, amrulei the malach hamavet. Zil avi le'reute. They told the malach hamavet, you go do what he tells you. Azalit Chazilei appeared to him. Amarlei achvilei duchtoi. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said, "Show me where I'm going to be." Amarlei l'chayai, fine. Amarlei havlei skinach. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said to the Malach HaMavet, "Let me have your knife." Dilma vatat liba orcha. I'm afraid you're going to scare me on the way. Yava, all right. He gave it to him. Niale. Kimata lahatam. When they got there, Dalia kamachvilei. He was pointing to the place. Shavar nafalahu gisa. And Rabbi Shimon Levi jumped and went over the fence. Naktei bekarna deglime. So he grabbed him by the corner of his garment. Amarle b'shvuata de lo atina. So I'm taking a shvua that I'm not going to go back. Amar, he said, so love the place. Amar kuchabrichu, I itchel ashvuata nehadar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if he's ever with Shoel on a shvua, if he ever asks for a shvua to be retracted, then he has to go back. Ilo lo nehadar. But if not, we have to honor the shvua. Amarle havli skinoi. So the Malach HaMavet said, give me back my knife. So Rabbi Shimon Levi refused to give it to him. Nafka bat kol of Amrale, havni ale. Bat kol went out and said, give it to him. Buy libriata. He needs it to go get other people. Machriz Eliyahu kamei. So Eliyahu then announced, pnu makom lebar levi. Make place for Ben Levi. Pnu makom lebar levi. Right? Very important entrance. Azal ashkechel b'shem bar Yochai. He came to heaven. He saw b'shem bar Yochai. Dovi yati val tlat asar tachsaka pisa. He saw that he was sitting at 13 golden tables. Amarle atu bar levi. So b'shem bar Yochai said, you're the Ben Levi? I've heard about you. Amarle hein. Nirata keshe b'yamecha. Was there ever a rainbow seen in your day? Now, the notion is that if a person lives in a period and a rainbow is never seen, that's a great zchut because it means the world was never in danger of being destroyed. A rainbow always appears at a time that the world was going to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the Brit. Amar Lehein, Rav Shimon Levi said, yes, it was. Im kein iyata bar Levi. If that's the Kirshem Reichai, you're not the famous Ben Levi. Velohi, the truth is not that that way. De lohave midi, there was really no rainbow. El asavro et chazik tivuta lanafshi. I don't want to take extra credit, so I'll say there was a rainbow. Okay, that's Rav Shimon Levi's story of coming to heaven. Rav Chanina Papa, Shushbine Havi, he was his neighbor. When he was about to die, go do what he wants. The Malach HaMavet appeared to him. So Chinuch Papa said, come back in 30 days. I want to review all of my learning. There's a tradition that somebody who comes to Shemayim and has his learning all organized is very happy. Shavke. So the Malach HaMavet left him. After 30 days he came back. Amrlei achvili duchtoi. So Rav Papa said, let me see my place in heaven. Amrlei lechayai. Lehavli skinach. Matali borcha. Same thing. Give me your knife so I don't want you to scare me. Amrlei kechavrach bait lemevali. You want to do what your friend did to me? He disappeared. He wouldn't come back. He wouldn't give me back my knife. Amrlei aiti sefer Torah v'chazi. He said to the Malach HaMavet, bring a sefer Torah. Mi'ika midi dichtiv beit lokiyamti. Is there anything in there that I did not fulfill? Alright, so I'm not going to be dishonest with you. Amarle, mi chrichat bevali ratan, viaskat betorah. Did you sit with these guys with ratan and study Torah, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, and nonetheless he did what he did? Nonetheless, when Chanina Papa died, there was a pillar of fire came down, dividing between him and the rest of the world. Ugmiri, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, in the beginning of the second parak, v'mafzik amuda denura lalachad bedorah latrein bedorah. We have a tradition that such a thing happens only for one or two guys in a generation. So he was obviously very big. Karv the Gabir Rabbi Alexandri. Alexandri wanted to come close to bury the body. Amar asei bishvil kvod chachamim. Take the fire away for kvod chachamim. Lo ashkach. Chodosh Baruch Hu didn't listen. Asei bishvil kvod avicha. He was speaking as if to the Rav Chanina Papa. Do it for kvod of your father. Lo ashkach. Asei bishvil kvod atzmacha. Do it for your own honor so he can bury you. Istalik. Then the fire went away. Rabbi Lafuki Meman de Lokiem Afilu Otachat. Right? So the purpose of the fire was to keep away anybody who had not fulfilled even one bit of Torah. Amarle Avadabarmat na Lafuki Mimar de lo itle ma'ke le igre. He said, no, it's to keep away even somebody like you who doesn't have a ma'ke. You don't have a maquet or parapet around your roof. Alohi, that's not the case. Mihave have, there was one. Just at that moment, the wind blew it over, so it looked like he didn't have a maquet, and therefore he was making this acerbic comment. So we conclude with this statement. Why are there none of these Ra'atan guys in Bavel? Because they eat spinach, and they drink a certain kind of mead that evidently is immunizes them. He said, why are there no Metzora'in in Bavel? And they also bathe in the Euphrates, and evidently that keeps Matzorat away from them. Okay, we have completed, although we still have to make up the beginning of the parak, and Amir Tzashem, we will begin the eighth parak in the next podcast, but truth to tell, we're going to start doing some of the makeup podcasts in the meantime, and we will finish the fifth parak of Masechet Tubot in the next podcast, and then go back to the eighth.